But for some of you who are more recent with us here at Ardenwood, I just want to give a little a special introduction, which is always such a pleasure. Mr. Daniel L. Jensen has been associated with Ardenwood for many, many years, and more officially since the early 1970s, when he was appointed with other people from our local community to head up a group that later became the Board of Trustees for this facility when the Ardenwood was turned over to the local community back in 1975. Prior to that time, he served as a Christian Science practitioner since 1964 and as an authorized teacher of Christian Science since 1970. We'll keep going back. How far back do you want to go, Dan? He received his master's degree from the University of California, Southern California, and his law degree from Hastings Law School here, college here in the Bay Area. But of course, his love always was Christian Science, having been a lifelong student, and so it was very natural for him to drift or move towards the practice. Of course, we know how active he has been in all this time. We first became acquainted with Dan Jensen long before we came to Ardenwood from a tape talk that he gave up in Oregon. And I knew at that time I really wanted to get to know that gentleman better. And fortunately for my wife and me, this has been a lovely relationship, a friendship that we've had with Dan and his dear wife, Ann, for a number of years. The title of his talk today is Improving Your Models. And let's all welcome Dan Jensen.
Thank you, Al. Our leader reminds us we are all sculptors working at various forms, molding and chiseling thought. What is the model before mortal mind? Have you accepted the mortal model? Are you reproducing it? Then you are haunted in your work by vicious sculptors and hideous forms. Do you not hear from all mankind of the imperfect model? The world is holding it before your gaze continually. The result is that you are liable to follow lower patterns, limit your life work, and adopt into your experience the angular outline and deformity of matter models. Have you noticed any lower patterns slipping into your experience? Today, we're going to take a careful look at models and ideals and some of the considerations that go into their selection and acceptance. Let's first get a clear concept of the meaning of the word ideals. The Oxford English Dictionary defines it as a conception of something or a thing concerned in its highest perfection, or an object to be realized or aimed at, a perfect type, a standard of perfection or excellence, a standard proposed for imitation. It would seem that much of our lives are spent imitating standards, holding to certain ideals, and living in accord with particular models. But aren't most of these standards accepted without conscious consideration, much less prayer? In fact, if we stop and take an analytical look at the operating ideals that we have accepted, we may well be amazed. Where did they come from? What is the basis of their origin? On careful review, are they acceptable? Mrs. Eddy urges us to make the right choice of models in our effort to establish a spiritual sense of health. She said, "Dear reader, which mind picture or externalized thought shall be real to you, the material or the spiritual? Both you cannot have. You are bringing out your own ideal. The ideal is either temporal or spiritual. Either spirit or matter is your model. If you try to have two models, then you practically have none. Like a pendulum in a clock, you will be thrown back and forth, striking the ribs of matter and swinging between the real and the unreal." I'm sure you recognize her statement on that. This addresses a most important element in the establishing of our models, that of dualism, or the confusion of material and spiritual models. In her wonderfully clear-sighted summation, Annie Knott, who was one of Mrs. Eddy's students and an editor of the Sentinel and Journal in her time, deals with this vital distinction. She wrote, "In one of Mrs. Eddy's classes, a student remarked that she had always intended to have the perfect body in her thought when giving a treatment. Mrs. Eddy at once asked where she found her authority for such a method. The student unhesitatingly responded that it was from Science and Health. And after a little search, she triumphantly read the statement on page of 407, "Let the perfect model be present in your thoughts." Smiling, as one would at the mistake of a child, Mrs. Eddy then asked if she regarded the body as the model here referred to. And the student said she had so believed up to that moment. With the utmost patience, Mrs. Eddy then explained to her students that we can only perceive the divine and perfect model as we are, to quote Paul, absent from the body and present with the Lord. Humanity has been slowly yielding up the belief in a corporeal God, but it still clings to the belief of a bodily model for man, while accepting the scriptural statement that he is God's likeness. Its model is therefore that of the sculptor who studies the human anatomy with some regard to the emotions, passions, and tendencies of the carnal or bodily mind. Strictly speaking, we can have but one model, God's perfect idea, with countless reflections, all governed by the one divine principle. This does not, however, authorize us to say that there is one eye, ear, or foot, or when we begin to talk about this, we are getting away from the perfect spiritual model. While it is true that mortals are at present dependent upon the body for the outward expression of their thought and activity, it is nonetheless true that the eye does not see, nor the ear hear, but that mind and its idea alone compass seeing and hearing. And because this is true, our revered leader bids us look away from the body into truth and love, the principle of all happiness, harmony, and immortality. We should, as our leader bids us, keep ever before our gaze perfect models. And if we love our task, the result will be health, happiness, and harmony. Now that's in volume 16 of the Sentinel, page 371, that article. So the question remains, have we consciously and prayerfully adopted the standards and models that we apply to our sense of identity? Are they mind models that Mrs. Eddy alluded to when she said, scientific discovery and the inspiration of truth have taught me that the clear character of man becomes more or less perfect as his mind models are more or less perfect.